Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Fightful Wrestling. I'm your host, Denise Salcedo. Today, I am joined by Steven Jensen. We are going to be chatting all things Impact Wrestling Rebellion. We had a pretty solid show tonight. Lots of good wrestling, an awesome main event that I personally cannot wait to talk about, and so much more. So welcome, everybody. Before we get started, as always, you guys know the drill here at Fightful Wrestling. Keep the chat going. Get your thoughts in at any point throughout the show. If you guys want to send in a super chat or a humper chat, you are more than welcome to. That is also the best way to get your question, your comment, or your statement read on this show here today. On top of that, it keeps us going. A lot of people want to all make sure that we have impact conversation here on Fightful Wrestling. Well, I got your back. Steven's got your back. But keep us coming here each and every single time by sending in those super chats, sending in those humper chats here today. Steven Jensen, how are you, dude? Good to see you again.
Yes, I'm doing great. As we were talking a little bit before we went live here in the dark match pre-show, we were talking a little bit about all the stuff you've been doing since last time we talked, the Ring of Honor, the GCW, all the independent stuff, the commentary, the ring announcing, all that stuff. So, and somebody who got a shout out tonight on the show on Impact Rebellion over here, Denise Salcedo. But I've been good. I got some stuff going on as well. Tomorrow I'll be at Battle Slam. So shout out to Battle Slam, Atlanta, Georgia. I get to see Pastor Troy perform live. I get to watch a whole bunch of good wrestling. I get to talk to Baron Black again. So that's what I got going on. But shout out to Denise right here as well for everything you've been doing.
Thanks, man. I got to say, so I did get a shout out today on Impact during the match that I was most looking forward to, by the way. But it was pretty funny, though, because I had no idea that was going to happen. They never actually do that, do they? Have they done that on other shows before where they shout people out for tweeting about it?
Not that I've really noticed. You know, it's a big thing with the UFC, and they even put that like up on the screen. And I think that Impact should do that more often. I think it would help with their engagement. People trying to get shout outs like that, I think it'd be smart. If they do it more often, I haven't really caught it a whole lot if they have.
Yeah, I haven't either. So I was literally like chilling, watching the match. And I was like, you know, all like vibing, you know, into the show and all of this. And I hear them shout out like Renee, and they shout out Andreas Hale. And then all of a sudden they're like, Denise Salcedo. And I was like, that's me. So it was pretty cool to get a shout out. So I'm very happy that, you know, I was acknowledged, you know, that's very nice. But anyways, Steven, here's the thing. And this is, I feel like sometimes I sound like a broken record when it comes to these shows, but legitimately, I feel you and I can sort of agree that every single time that we come on here to talk about Impact, whether it's the smaller shows on Impact Plus or whether we're talking about, you know, bigger pay-per-views and whatnot, I feel for the most part, we always have like positive or raving reviews about the show because legitimately we get a little bit of everything. We get a good solid card top to bottom. So with that being said, I kind of have an idea of what you might think about how you felt about this show, but just give us a general consensus of how you felt about the show here tonight.
I thought the show, it was a solid show. I thought that especially like the first half of it was like really good, as we'll get into, like the first few matches especially I thought were really, really good. And then it slowed down a little bit towards the end, just a little bit, and then the main event was great. So overall, very, very good shows we're about to get into. And I sound like a broken record as well, because I say this every time we're on here talking about Impact. This is, you know, the four times a year. They got the four big pay-per-views a year. Rebellion's one of them. Like, they know the wrestling world is watching, and they always deliver on these big pay-per-views. I'll always give them credit for that. It's just on them to take the momentum and keep it going, because almost every time, if you only watch the Impact pay-per-views, it's like every time you tune in, probably it's, you know, new champions, and it, a lot changes really quickly. They hot potato a lot of stuff, and it's, so it's something where I hope that this was a good enough show, once again, like I say, for all these big pay-per-views, that people like this and they'll watch it weekly, and, you know, and continue to watch for the Impact Plus shows and you know, the weekly show and that kind of stuff. So, overall, very, very good show. And, they know the wrestling world is watching on these nights, and they tend to deliver on these shows, in my opinion.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. And I also kind of agree with your analysis about, you know, the first half of the show being really strong. There were two matches that I thought kind of had a little bit of, you know, were probably maybe the weaker portions of the night. But then once again, it picked up with that main event, which ended up being my favorite match of the night. But let's go ahead and get started. Let's run through things in a nice chronological fashion. Just makes things a lot easier. But let's kick things off with a triple threat with three guys that, Steven, they couldn't be any more different. You have Steve Maclin, you have Chris Sabin, you have Jay White. First and foremost, I want to start off by talking about the booking of Steve Maclin. I think has been very, very good. I think that they have kind of made him, they've made him somebody to be like, hey, take notice of this guy. And he came out, you know, with the face paint and, you know, he's got the cool jacket and he's legitimately looking so much more, I don't want to say like so much more better because that kind of sounds weird, but I don't know how else to say it. Like, the dude has been, you know, more and more impressive as, you know, the times that I've seen him on these shows and whatnot. So I do kind of want to touch on how you've been feeling about how they've been booking Steve Maclin.
I think it's been great. I mean, he's a guy that I still felt like I didn't know a whole lot about when he was in the WWE system, because, you know, he was either overshadowed by developmental or being, you know, a part of a team. And then like the whole Forgotten Sons thing, you know, was going on, and he got totally lost in the mix, and he has rebounded spectacularly on outside of the WWE. I mean, he's gone from a guy who, you know, he went from someone who had to, I feel like he really had to prove himself when he left the WWE. It was like to get the spot that he's in right now, he has really had to prove himself. And he has done it by having consistently good matches over and over and over again, no matter who the opponent is, whether it's a heavyweight wrestler, whether it's an X Division type match or wrestler. And he's honestly one of the most underrated, like, YOLO wrestlers out there, as far as guys who will just jump through the ropes with like complete disregard for their bodies, and like it always looks so brutal.
And there's a moment that we're going to talk about that kind of something similar that happened during this match too.
Yeah, exactly. So he's a guy who really puts it all on the line, and everything looks really, really believable. Like, when he hits you, it looks like it would really hurt. I think that Maclin, even if you had never seen him before, knew nothing about him and only watch Impact Wrestling, I think he's a guy that's earned the respect of like the entire fan base.
Yeah, I definitely felt so. And it was one of the things that kind of stood out to me, like right at the top of this. But let's go ahead and dive into the match itself, because I thought that given that it was the opener and given that, you know, like I said, all of these guys are such different wrestlers and they have different styles, but they came in so well. They meshed so well all together. But I think my favorite thing about the entirety of this match was legitimately like the pacing of it all. It was exactly what you need in an opening match, you know, kind of getting people, you know, excited about what you're going to be seeing for the night and whatnot. And there were so many good spots during this. And one of the things that I particularly liked was that every single time you thought that, you know, I saw a lot of, there was some, okay, let me kind of run through their spots because I want to make sure that I get some of the best ones here. And I don't want to skip any portions that I legitimately like. So there was a moment like right at the beginning, we kind of saw Jay White kind of playing a little bit like he came in with a strategy where he didn't necessarily want to get into the ring right away. And he was kind of letting, you know, Chris Sabin and Steve Maclin do their thing. But he was very quick at going in there and breaking up like the one of like the first pins that we got like right away. We got the good pacing. They were coming at each other in like very creative ways. There was a moment where we see Steve Maclin, and I love this part. So we see Steve Maclin. He hits his spear on Jay White, and then he's immediately going to run across the ring and hit the spear on Chris Sabin, but Chris Sabin sees it. He moves out of the way, and you just see Steve Maclin flying out of the ring. Oh, I absolutely love this. The finish, I love the finish. Sabin getting in, you know, his finisher, Jay White coming in, stealing Jay White. Maclin comes in, steals the finish. I thought this was absolutely cool. You know, seeing the cradle shock and then it not ended up being the finish for him, I thought it was really awesome. So how did you feel about the entire match itself? How did you feel about some of the spots that we saw, etc.?
Great match to open a pay-per-view as well. Like, this, you know, this got everyone, got the crowd going, got the internet going. That's another thing that's important. You know, as much as I try to stay out of the discourse usually when it comes to Twitter conversations, just, you know, because it gets so damn toxic, unfortunately. But if you're a show like Impact, you want people on Twitter tweeting about it. Like, and this is the kind of match that gets people's fingertips going and being like, okay, this show is starting off hot, you know, or even people that were on the fence about buying this show. Like, do I spend $40 on this or not? They see a match like that and they're like, all right, I feel pretty good about spending my money. Like, this is a good way to start a show off. I love the finish as well. Jay White stays protected with everything he's doing. I consider him like himself. He's kind of the key to the Forbidden Door, in my opinion, because of all the places he pops up in and how linked he is with the Bullet Club and stuff. So it's like he stays protected because, you know, it took Saban hitting his finisher. Jay White went for the Blade Runner multiple times. Saban had a bunch of good counters for it and stuff. And then Macklin just stealing the win at the very end. It worked for everybody involved. Everybody looks good coming out of this match. And I think if you were to ask 100 Impact fans who you think is going to win that match, I think Macklin might have been the underdog in comparison to all three. And like him getting the win was pretty big, I think.
I think so too. I didn't see it coming, especially when he stole the finish and stole the pin, excuse me. I was like, oh shit, what? And when he actually got the three count, I was legitimately surprised by that. Like, for sure, I completely agree with you. I think that he was probably the person that I was least expecting to actually get the win here, but I think it just kind of, you know, leveled him up in a way, getting, you know, getting this win, especially over guys like Jay White and Chris Sabin. So I think it made for a really, really good opening match. But let's go ahead and get people's thoughts on this. We actually got a super chat. This one is from Brandon Hagen, who says, Impact's pay-per-views always seem to deliver, always worth the buy. Nice to see Taya win and awesome to see Josh win. Big fan of both of you. Thank you so much to Brandon for sending in this very kind super chat. Once again, guys, if you want to get your thoughts, send them in. You can also send in a humper chap. I literally said humper chap. Humper chat. I'm not used to saying humper chat, so I'm a little rusty here. But we got one from Cameron W. who says, this was my first Impact show in about 10 to 12 years, and I was really impressed. Front to back, it was very enjoyable. You know what? That kind of surprises me just a little bit, because I feel like there have been other shows that I feel had a little bit more buzz going into them, and I feel like usually those are the shows where you get some people that A, may be giving Impact like you know, an opportunity for the first time to actually watch them, or it may be like returning viewers, etc. So it's nice to hear that, you know, we got somebody tuning in to watch the show for Rebellion.
Yeah, let us know also in the chat, like, what were some of the things that really got you hooked for this show? Because I know some people, and honestly, for some people, it might have been the story of Josh Alexander getting the belt back from Moose. I mean, I think there might have been a lot of people that really liked that story playing out, you know, from for the last 6 months since, you know, losing the title and everything so quickly, or even just the card itself, you know, on paper with all that talent, like they just looked like a bunch of good matches. So I'm interested to know some of the things that, you know, some of the reasons why people might have given Impact a chance for the first time.
Yeah, I think so too. For me, it was a little bit surprising, but that's good to read. That's a good sign. We also got another Humper Chat. Oh my God, Humper Chat, this is never going to leave me. We got a Humper Chat from Ricardo the Bot Guy, who says, here to support the Step Host and my dude Jensen. Thank you so much. Appreciate your love and support here on this show. But now, let's go ahead and move on to this next match. So, the next match on the card is two women that have had a very interesting history. We got Taya Valkyrie versus Deonna Purrazzo for the AAA Reina de Reinas Championship. And here's the thing that I kind of want to start off at, okay? First of all, we saw the return of Taya here, because if you remember, she was gone to the Stanford Penitentiary. Remember, she shot Larry D, and she was, so technically she kind of got, she must have had a good lawyer, Steven, because she was only gone for a couple of years out of the penitentiary. Now she's back. I was going to make that joke on Twitter, by the way.
Really good. Yeah, I didn't expect that. That was really good. Yeah.
I was going to make that joke on Twitter, but I was like, nah, it's not going to come off. It's not going to come across very funny on Twitter, because I'm like, okay, you have to have remembered, you know, what was going on with Taya before she left Impact Wrestling to go to WWE. So anyways, wanted to throw that in there. But either way, no, these two women have had a phenomenal history with one another. We've seen them go at it before. And this is the thing that for me, I kind of like, I guess, you know, seeing how things went for Taya in WWE, you know, it does kind of suck that things went down that way and that she didn't get, you know, her proper moment and all of that in WWE. But for me, just to kind of see her back in the ring with Deonna, I was like, hell yeah, because, you know, I know, and a lot of people watching here know that both Taya and Deonna wrestle in such very different ways. And the way that they, what they bring to the ring is always like, I don't know how else to explain it, man. Like the seeing Taya go in there and wrestle with Deonna, you know, you're going to get good matches. You know, you're going to get phenomenal in-ring work between both of them. And one of my favorite things during this match was that commentary made sure to really point out that, like, hey, just because we haven't, you know, just because they've had this time apart and now they're back and they're doing their thing doesn't mean that they don't, that they didn't stop like hating each other, right? Like they still have that history. They still hate each other, etc. And I thought this match was really freaking awesome. And honestly, it was a reminder of what Taya can do in the ring, because I actually think this was the first match that I had seen of her since she left WWE, for me at least.
Okay, yeah. So there's a lot to unpack there with Taya, and we'll end with the two of them because I can't remember for sure. They might have mentioned on commentary, but I think Deonna beat Taya to win the Knockouts title. Like
she did. She did. Okay. Yeah, she did. Yeah.
So I mean, so you have that right there. That's just history in itself, and then you have. Like Taya, what was so frustrating for me when Taya was in the WWE system was there was no point at all in having her do anything in NXT. Like she should have been immediately on Raw and SmackDown.
Yes. And,
you know, I mean, she'd been working in Impact for so long. She had so many years. She was a veteran. She's so good in the ring. She tells great stories. She can get over really good character work. She knows how to work on television already. It just didn't, and they pigeonholed her. They nerfed her in NXT, in my opinion. And like what she is since leaving, like, she had a match. Someone's going to have to remind me in the chat of who it was with. She did, like, a death match a few weeks ago. That was brutal. I mean, she's a maniac. I didn't know how crazy she was. Like, I knew she was kind of crazy, but she's, like, super crazy. An actual wrestler. But she's crazy. She's a maniac. So I love seeing this. I thought this match was great. Like, this is great stuff between these two. I could watch them wrestle on every pay-per-view and not get tired of it. And you left meat on the bone on this, too, because – you know, they can run this back in the future. Like, this is the kind of match, once again, I'll watch it again for sure. And stylistically, like you were saying, very different. Like I said, Taya is a maniac, but she's very well-rounded. Gianna is great technically, just a really, really good technical in-ring wrestler. And the two of their styles mix together really, really well. And Taya is somebody that I think the WWE is definitely, Deonna as well, both of them in the same boat with this, where I think the WWE has to look at both of them and just kick themselves and be like, how did we have nothing to do with these two women? Like they're so damn talented, obviously. And they felt it would have fit great in their system with all the talented women the WWE has.
And here's the thing, too. So going into this match, I was thinking about it and I was like, I love how dominant Deonna has been. And she's really been collecting gold. She's had a lot of gold around her waist now for quite some time, right? Whether it be the Impact title, now the Ring of Honor and obviously the Reina de Reinas championship and all of that, right? So I was looking at this and I was like, I really hope that Taya wins this match because she, you know, coming off again, just recently coming off of, you know, WWE and, you know, she's kind of, you know, starting to get the ball rolling once again with her stuff. I feel like she really needed this belt. She really needed this win a lot more than if they would have kept it on Deonna. Like, I just really think that Taya really needed this. So when she got the win here, I thought, hell yeah, this is exactly the right call because it's not going to take away anything from Deonna. Deonna has already proven herself time and time again. You know, she's still holding the Ring of Honor Women's Championship. She still has that going for her. So this to me was just something where I thought it was definitely the right call to actually have Taya, get the championship once again. And, you know, I think she's already booked too for Triple Mania and for all of that too. So she already has dates coming up as well.
Exactly. I think that was a big motivation to have her win the title is I think she's going to defend it in Mexico for AAA or Triple A. You know, like I think that, you know, and she does great in Mexico. Like they love her in Mexico. So like I'm all for it. And Juan Ortega in the chat, it was Taya versus Pero in the death match I was thinking of. You are.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was And it was, if y'all, I can't remember what company it was for. Someone in the chat will know that, but it was brutal. So if you haven't ever seen Taya really outside of her element in like the WWE, or you're kind of discovering her now with Impact, her indie stuff is pretty nuts. So I think she's going to be great with that championship going down to Mexico and defending it.
Exactly. Now, a little bit about this match. You know, we mentioned it was hard hitting. These two women, they move at a different pace. They everything that they do, they like lay it in. It's totally they don't half-ass anything. Okay, that's the best way that I can say it. One of the things that I loved was seeing Taya Valkyrie like locking her own submissions on Deonna, who we already know is like, you know, the technician queen, and she does everything so well when it comes to that. So I love seeing that. There was a moment too where they were both kind of like on all fours, and they were like butting heads with each other and just like screaming. And it's little things like that, you know, things that happen in between the moves that I think kind of just like elevate the story. And again, touch on that history that both of these women already had. So this was so good. I was so happy to see. I thought the match was great. The outcome was great. Overall good stuff here today. But let's go ahead and get some comments in here and see what people are saying in regards to this. We got a super chat from Make Yourself 85, who says Moose and Alexander was a big reason to buy the event. Worth it at the end. Looking forward to Slammiversary. Exactly. So thank you so much to Make Yourself 85. We got a super chat from Brandon Hagen once again, who says Stephos and Jensen deserve a couple more bucks. Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that a whole lot. We got a super chat from Jesus Garcia, who says Taya and Deonna were great. Happy to see her back on Impact. Looking forward to see her back in AAA as well. Well, I agree. And, you know, she kicks ass there all the time. She's definitely no stranger to being the Reina de Reinas champion. But let's go ahead and get some thoughts in here. I'm trying to make sure I get all of these comments. Okay, cool. I got all of these as well. Okay, I'm caught up with the Humper Chats. All right, let's move on, guys. Once again, if you guys want to get your comment, question, or statement, you could send in a super chat here on YouTube, or you can send in a Humper Chat. And once again, send those in, guys. It keeps us going. It keeps us funded. All right. So now, after this, this is a match that I think we all knew was going to be good. But let's talk about it, because this was a whole lot of fun. We had Ace Austin versus Trey Miguel versus Mike Bailey for the X Division Championship. And holy cow, this was a lot of fun. I was literally just like writing down all of my favorite spots. And then there was a moment where I was like, I got to stop writing this down, because I look down and something happens. You know, like that's the kind of action that we see during this. But just some good moments that we had here. There was a moment where Miguel had Ace Austin literally hanging from the apron, and Bailey ends up doing a moonsault onto his back. Like he was like upside down too, so it kind of looked really cool. And one of my favorite parts about the entire match was that every time like one guy was doing something on another guy, you saw the third person coming in and essentially ruining that. And you kind of kept this really cool like back and forth action going here. There was a moment where we saw Trey Miguel do a dive that turned into a dive and then a cutter on Ace Austin. That was really awesome. One of my favorite parts during this, Steven, and I totally marked out for this, was we saw Bailey do a moonsault on Ace Austin off the top rope. And then afterwards, we see Trey Miguel go right in and give a hurricanrana to Mike Bailey as he was kind of still standing there. That was really cool. We saw Bailey hit the Ultimo Weapon on Ace Austin. We saw Trey hit the Meteora on Mike Bailey. After this, we end up seeing Ace hit the fold on Trey, and Ace actually wins the title here. And this is what I particularly liked, and what I liked so much about this was that he pinned the champion. He pinned the champion, and that to me just makes this so much more of a definitive win, and it just makes it feel like a bigger deal. You know, we don't always get that in these types of matches. So with that being said, Steven, how did you feel about this match? How did you feel about the outcome? And were you also surprised to see the champion getting pinned during this match?
So this was the match I was most looking forward to coming into the show. This was personally probably my favorite match of the whole night. For different reasons,
really?
Like Moose and I mean Moose and Josh Alexander was really, really, really good. Don't get me wrong. Like those are kind of 1A, 1B for me, and one is way more storyline driven than the other, and that might add to it as well. But this for me, like these are three of my favorite wrestlers in the world, not just in Impact Wrestling. Like these are three guys I think are exceptionally talented. Speedball Mike Bailey is honestly might be the best overall wrestler in the world right now in any company. And I know that's like a big statement to make.
He's hustling, man. He's hustling.
Yeah, everywhere he's going, he's getting over huge. His moveset is super diverse, and it looks so crisp, everything he does. And just aesthetically, he looks like the good guy in like every 80s, you know, karate movie, which is like exactly what he's going for. You know what I mean? Like it's just the package that he's put together, I think, is just a perfect presentation. And then he backs it up in the ring. Ace Austin is a guy who I have been saying week after week on the Weekender podcast for over 3 years. I've been saying almost every week, Ace Austin should be in a position to be the Impact Wrestling World Champion. Like, he's too good to be lost in the mix. This guy has everything you would want. He's been in Impact for years now. And my only hesitation with anything that has to do with this, we've seen Ace Austin with the X Division title twice. It has led to nothing either time. Then he's been lost in the mix afterwards. I don't want to see that happen again. This guy is so talented. And then Trey Miguel, I think he's had a great run with X Division Championship. I know he's going through like some tough personal stuff. And I you know, shout out to Trey, and he hit one hell of a meteor tonight. That's a move that I am not a huge fan of. I've talked about it before. He nailed it tonight. I have nothing but respect for him hitting that move tonight. So like, I thought the match itself was an incredible match. And a big part of the reason why it was so good, you touched on it earlier, is there was no downtime. And every time that you would, like, someone would hit someone, and then the third person's right there doing something, and they never stopped there, you know, and
they were feeding off of each other too, which is good. It's like, you know, that's what you're supposed to do in a situation like that, where you're seeing one guy, you know, target a body area, or you see one guy do something. How can I further add some more pain to this guy? Then we saw a lot of that during this.
Yes. And if you remember, I can't remember what show it was, but I know for sure me and you reviewed it together. But when Mike Bailey came into Impact Wrestling for the first time after that 5-year hiatus,
it was the pre-show match, right? It was the pre-show match, yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And he pinned Ace Austin in that match, and that story started there and is carried from there all the way to tonight, which is really cool as well, because they teased Bailey and Ace teaming together and feuding each other, and everyone in this match, all three of these guys, ultra talented wrestlers. I thought it was a win-win-win, no matter who actually walked away with the championship. I have no problem with any of them being the X Division champion. Just keep giving me more matches with these three dudes, really against the other best wrestlers in the world, and just continue to push all three of these guys. Now that Trey is an X Division champion, that shouldn't mean de-push. That shouldn't mean get lost in the mix. Find something productive for him to do on the show. There's so much talent that he could have a big spot coming off of this loss. Same goes for Mike Bailey, and then Ace Austin. You know, do your thing with that title. Ace Austin, I hope it doesn't even take this long, but a year from today, when me and you are sitting right here, probably talking about Impact Wrestling a year from now, I'm hoping we're saying it as Ace Austin, the Impact Wrestling World Champion by that point. So I hope this is the first big step towards him eventually becoming the world champion, because I think he deserves it.
Wow, we'll definitely see. A lot can happen in a year, as we know, especially in the world of wrestling, where things move really, really fast. So who knows? But once again, we're going to go ahead and move on. But as a friendly reminder, guys, once again, if you want to make sure that you get your questions, your comments, or your statement read on this stream, and you want to keep us funded, please make sure to send in a super chat or a Humper chat. All right, but now, Steven, it's time. Okay, so one of the things that I was most excited about for this pay-per-view was when I saw that it was going to be Jonah versus Tomohiro Ishii. I thought, oh yes, please. Like, this is the kind of matches that for me, I just get like legitimately excited about. You know, we talk about, you know, what certain matches appeal to people, what gets them to, you know, buy a show. If I wasn't, you know, watching the show because it was my job, I would have tuned in particularly for this match to see Jonah versus Ishii. And I gotta tell you, it ended up being a different match from what I was expecting, but I just loved the entire format of this. I love the way that this match was essentially laid out. So what we got here was this first portion of this match. They made Jonah look like a beast. They made him look like a monster. And when you're in there with Tomohiro Ishii, and Ishii is the guy trying to bring you down, and he was trying multiple ways to bring down Jonah, and Jonah was, they called him, you know, a wall, and he legitimately was this big giant brick wall who couldn't be brought down whatsoever. And like, yeah, Ishii's not, you know, the same size as Jonah. We get all of that, but Ishii is a badass, like, in his own right. So to kind of see Ishii struggle to bring Jonah down was really freaking cool. But so we get a lot of that there, right? And then finally, there's a moment where we end up seeing the shift in this match. So we first see Jonah get all be, you know, dominant for the majority of this match. But then there's this second portion where we finally see Ishii hit a German suplex, and then he starts picking up the adrenaline. And from this point and on, it really starts like elevating. And so each time, because Ishii took such a beating from Jonah the first half, that the second half, all the offense that we saw Ishii execute in this match just made it so much more impressive, especially given the size of Jonah. So I thought that was really cool. There was a moment where where Jonah power bombs Ishii. I love that because that was like super high impact, no pun intended, legitimately was. We see Jonah hit the spear on him. We see Ishii hit the sliding D. He goes for the pin. It's a near fall. And then finally, we see Ishii hit the brain bust on Jonah. And I don't know about you, but I wasn't expecting Ishii to get the win in this match. I was legitimately surprised when he defeated Jonah. So with that being said, how did you feel about this match? Do you think it lived up to expectations, etc.?
So I love this kind of stuff. Tomohiro Ishii is one of my favorite wrestlers like ever in New Japan, and I love what he's done in the States recently. Like, he's really he's getting like a whole new fan base of people that are, I feel like they're seeing him for like the first time in the last few months, which I think has been really, really cool. I was very surprised by the result because they have made Jonah out to be, outside of like Josh Alexander and like the tippy top of Impact Wrestling, Jonah has pretty much destroyed everybody else. His match with PCO, he's had a couple now, but he's had some complete bangers with PCO recently and stuff. And he's another guy that, you know, since leaving the WWE, he's shown me a lot. I didn't know a whole lot of him as Bronson Reed in NXT.
He was good in NXT too. Really good in NXT.
Yeah, I just didn't see a whole lot of it. Like but seeing what he can really do outside of it, I think he's really earned my respect as a fan, you know. I thought this was great. And Ishii, you know, he just recently wrestled Minoru Suzuki on that New Japan Windy City Riot show, and that was one of the best matches I've seen in a while as well. And if someone says, hey, Ishii Jonah is my favorite match on this show, I'm not going to argue it. Like, if this is your type of match, like, this, I thought this match was really damn good. And especially for Ishii to get the win with the Brainbuster, that looks so cool to see a guy that big get picked up in the air like that. I mean, it all works so well. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again when it comes to Ishii. I don't think I've ever in my life as a wrestling fan seen somebody with a more basic move set look more believable in everything that he does. Ishii pretty much just does punches, kicks, clotheslines, and brainbusters. It's like in headbutts. Yes, in headbutts. And it really, like, they're moves that like anybody can do, but he does it with such insane believability, and he sells so well his facial expressions that like, he gets over everything he does and just looks like he's in there fighting people for real.
I love that I was scratching my head and you were like, head. You were like headbutts. And I was like, I wasn't trying to tell you headbutts. I was legitimately scratching my head.
Well, but he does a lot of headbutts too. Yeah. I thought you were like reminding me, like, don't forget about his
headbutts.
Yes. But yeah, like I said, he has a very basic moveset, but it doesn't matter because he is so believable. So yeah.
And also when he did the German suplex too, because he was getting him like off of all of that adrenaline, and Jonah's so freaking big and he got him. I didn't, because he had teased it earlier in the match and they were kind of like, oh, I don't know if it's gonna happen, and it didn't happen, and then finally did. So I was very happy to see that executed during this as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Alrighty, so we got a super chat from Sheldon Jackson, who says, love the fact that Denise got a shout out from commentary during the Jonah versus Ishii match. What can I say? Everybody wants a review from Hollywood Salcedo, man. Just calling me the Hollywood reporter over here. Thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson, though. I really appreciate that. We got a super chat from Bam255019, who says, Ishii is the definition of less is more. That's good. That's really good. I like that. Yeah that's
very,
really good.
Very, yeah. That's pretty much sums up exactly what I'm trying to say about him. Like, that's him in a nutshell. I agree.
Exactly. All righty. Before we move on, we also have to talk about this teaser video that we got. There's a lot of theories out there. I think there's one major name that a lot of people are thinking of here. But this was the EGV is coming. What did you make of this, Steven? And do you think it is the person that Sami Callihan is obviously the person that everybody's thinking that it is? Do you agree with that? What are your thoughts on this?
I think Sami Callihan makes the most sense. I mean, he's historically had various, hacker type gimmicks and stuff like that. And so it would make sense. His group OVE, that kind of is similar to EVG? EVG or EGV, something like that was popping up on the screen. It was another three letter thing where it's like, maybe this is like the new version of OVE that he's starting or something like that. I don't know. That was the name that definitely popped in my head. And then when I was kind of scrolling through Twitter, that seemed to be the name that most people had in mind. Did you have anyone else in mind? Or were you thinking?
No, you know what I was thinking? Cause I'm dumb. And it wasn't until at first I thought, cause I was seeing all the little numbers and I was like, okay, that's, to me, that was the first sign that it was Sami Callihan. But then when I saw the letters EGV, I was like, I was trying to think of names. I was like, who has EGV initials? And it was funny because I kept thinking, for some reason, I just kept thinking of all of these different names, but I'm like, nobody has those initials. And so that kind of threw me off for a bit there, where I was like, I first had the assumption, oh, it's Sami Callihan. But then afterwards, when I got the initials, that threw me off. So then afterwards, I saw everybody still saying Sami Callihan on Twitter. And I'm like, all right, well, there we go.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. Sammy's been in the company for so long that, I mean, it would be good to see his character get a big reset.
This is funny. Doom Tribe 2 said extremely generic video.
Yeah.
It was not super generic. It was fine.
It kind of reminded me of those old when Jericho returned in 2007 or whatever it was, when it was the answer is the code.
Yeah.
The code is the answer. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that stuff though.
Y2J,
But everybody, I feel for me, anytime I see any sort of timer, any sort of countdown, I associate that with Jericho immediately. So yeah, it's something that definitely sticks there in your brain and whatnot. Alrighty, but something else that sticks in. Never mind. I'm not good at this. I was trying to do a funny
segue into
Blue Chew. And I was like, something that sticks in your brain. But then I was like, wait, that doesn't sound right. Never mind. Let's let Sean Ross Sapp take care of this.
Are you looking to make an impact, but you want your explosion to happen a little later than usual? Well, make sure you're up to peak performance in the bedroom. More like a sex division match instead of an X division match, if you know what I mean. BlueChew.com, code FIGHTFUL. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. I know they work, but in a chewable form. And it's discreet. You work with their licensed medical providers. You get that shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. No waiting in line at the pharmacies. No awkward doctor visits. No going up to the doctor and saying, I think my title reign's over. That doesn't work for me, brother. My penis isn't working. No. You work with their licensed medical providers online, and it ships straight to you. It's prepared and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than those other guys. How cheap? How about free for your first shipment when you use that code FIGHTFUL? Just pay $5 shipping. BlueChew.com, code FIGHTFUL. I don't have any more penis references about it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour.
You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Impact Wrestling. So just do it, okay?
Just do it, okay? Sounds great. Alrighty, we're gonna
Didn't you eliminate that guy from the clusterfuck?
What?
Didn't you eliminate that guy from the clusterfuck?
Yeah, eliminate that guy. He's a nobody. He's a nobody. Alrighty, so we're gonna go ahead and continue on, everybody. We got a couple more matches to talk about. Once again, if you want to make sure you get your question, comment, or statement, or whatever, your opinion, your hot take, whatever you got, feel free to send it in a super chat or a humper chat. On top of that, if you guys haven't subscribed to Fightful yet, what the hell are you waiting for? Click that subscribe button. We are on our way to 100,000 subscribers. Come be part of the family. We got another super chat. This one is from ShotKid29, who says, just got home from Rebellion. Excellent show from start to finish. Josh Moose was match of the night easy. Only dud was tag team Gauntlet. Not bad, just forgettable. Well, ShotKid29, I'm glad you had a great time at Rebellion and you're actually segueing us into this Gauntlet match. So let's go ahead and jump right into it, because there were some pros and I think there were some cons to this. So let's get into it. So we had the A-Team Elimination Challenge for the Impact World Tag Team Championship. It was in the format of a gauntlet and we had some surprise teams that essentially weren't announced and then they came in during all of this. So I'm going to do a quick rundown of what we got and then we can jump into this a little bit more. So we kicked things off with the major players versus Jordynne Grace and W. Morrissey, which I thought was a very interesting pairing here. We saw Matt essentially pin Jordynne Grace with the distraction. And then afterwards, we kind of had a post-match melee, which led to Chelsea Green low-blowing W. Morrissey. And then he reveals that he was wearing a cup. And really fun fact, Steven, I'd never actually seen a cup before. Talking a household cup. I'd never legitimately seen one. So when he pulled it out, I don't even want to say what I thought.
Oh, that's too funny.
I don't even want to say what I thought it was, okay? And my fiance was like, Denise, that's a cup. And I was like, oh, that's a cup? Yeah, I felt really stupid.
Did you never see Little Giants back in the day? The kid puts the cup up to his face?
No.
He doesn't know what it is either. He's like wearing it like over his mouth.
Okay, yeah. So when he pulled it out and I saw the thing, I thought he had a banana. I was like, why does he got a banana in his pants? I don't know what I was thinking. Anyway, so I saw a cup today for the first time in my life, but let's move on. He ends up putting Chelsea through a table. I love Chelsea. Great spot for her there as well. This ends up essentially kind of ruining things for the major players, though, because it ends up being the major players versus the Good Brothers. We end up seeing them, the Good Brothers hit the magic killer, so they get the win here. Then it's Good Brothers versus Johnny Swinger and Zicky Dice, and they hit this very quick match. We see them hit the magic killer again and the Good Brothers win. Then we go into the best part of this match, which was the Good Brothers and Rich Swann and Willie Mack. And this was literally the meat of this match here. This was the highlight. A bunch of spots back and forth. We'll talk more about that in just a second. From here on out, we essentially see the Good Brothers get the win again after they took the leg out from Willie Mack. We then go into Good Brothers versus Taven and Bennett. And from here, we end up seeing Anderson was essentially trying to suplex Taven back into the ring, but the Honor No More guys essentially grabbed his legs and kept him down so that they can actually get the win. And this is how Taven ends up getting the win for his team here. Then we see Taven and Bennett against Rhino and Heath, and we end up seeing Rhino get the gore on Taven, and that's how they get the win. Then from here, we go to the main event of the gauntlet, if you want to say it like that, the last match. Rhino and Heath versus Joe Doering and Eric Young. This was a little bit of a slower pace. I personally, just saying this right now, I think the final match should have legitimately been Joe Doering, Eric Young, and Taven and Bennett instead. But we end up seeing Joe Doering and Eric Young essentially retain their titles. And with that being said, I, even though like the start of the gauntlet, I thought had, you know, this gauntlet led to other stories and it had multiple layers and all of that, but I kind of thought that a good majority of this match was a little bit dull. Aside from Good Brothers Swan, Willie Mack, and then everything we saw at the beginning, I thought that everything else in between felt very pointless. But Steven, how did you feel about this gauntlet?
This is the point of the show that I was kind of referencing where it started to get, it was kind of a lull in the show. Like everything up to this point, I thought hit on all cylinders, like was a home run. Everything clicked. Everything was really good up to this point. This was what it was. I didn't think it was great. The Jordan Grace, W. Morrissey team was very random. Like that was like, I don't know why they even did that. I love Jordan Grace. Like I'm happy to see her on the show, but she was on for all of like a minute before she got pinned. That power bomb by W. Morrissey to Chelsea Green was pretty brutal. So, I mean, that was something, I guess. But and you touched on this, and this definitely needs to be said. Is it any surprise to you, Denise, that like the bulk of this match and the best parts of this match had to do with Willie Mack and Rich Swann? Like, is that really surprising?
Not. Surprising at all. They're a match made in heaven, okay? I love these two.
Yeah, and it's like, we can sit here all day and do an entire podcast on why isn't Willie Mack being spotlighted more? It doesn't make any sense to either of us. So, like, you know, so what I would say, if anyone wants to seek this match out, watch Good Brothers versus Willie Mack and Rich Swann. That was pretty much, like, the match. The rest of this stuff just seemed to be kind of, like, peripheral of that. Violent by Design retained the titles. Cool. Like, I got no problem with it. I think Joe Doering and Eric Young are a really good tag team. And I like how they sprinkle Diener in there as well. And, like, I got no problem with them as a team. But I am interested to see with this whole EGV thing. That seems kind of a lot like VBD and Violent by Design. Like, I want to see how similar these two groups might wind up being. Or if they wind up fighting each other, maybe. Could be cool. My biggest thing coming out of this is, like, do something with Willie Mack and Rich Swann coming out of this, because these guys are just always lost in the mix. But both guys are, I mean, Willie Mack or Rich Swann rather has at least been the Impact World Champion. Willie Mack just gets lost in the mix in between every pay-per-view, it seems like, unfortunately.
I agree. I completely agree. And given the fact that they were the highlight of this, I really wish they would have tweaked some things here. I don't think that this needed to be a gauntlet. It kind of felt like one of those things where it was like, man, like we either got to get something different and exciting, but so much of this was like, just, you know, magic killer. Okay, win, moving on from this. It felt very meaningless. And this was honestly the first match in a long time with us in regards to us covering Impact Wrestling. I feel like for the most part, there's always, you know, there hasn't been a match that I disliked as much as this gauntlet from the past shows that we have reviewed. There's been matches where I'm like, oh, this match was good. Maybe it wasn't the best, but I've never disliked a match. And I kind of disliked this gauntlet. I just didn't really think that there was, like I said, some parts kind of felt like a little bit of a waste of time.
Yeah, I agree. And Jesus Garcia in the chat mentions like Grace helped out Morrissey on the Go Home show. That's true. But what I really mean by the randomness is like just the fact that they did, and like, do we really need to see Jordan Grace and Morrissey as a tag team? It's just, I mean, couldn't Jordan Grace
mind
have
it,
been...
though. I will tell you this. I didn't mind it. I actually kind of liked the pairing.
Okay. Hey, fair enough. I just don't know where they go from there. I think it'd be interesting to see W. Morrissey against Jordan Grace one-on-one in Impact. I think that'd be pretty interesting to watch.
Yeah, definitely. Let's go ahead and get some thoughts in here and see what people are saying. This is a super chat from Jesus Garcia, who says the start of the gauntlet match was really good. Was hoping one of those two teams would win the match. You all got a new fan in me. Thank you so much to Jesus. I really appreciate that. And yeah, I completely agree with this comment as well here. And let's go ahead and make sure I got all of this. Yep, that was pretty much all we got in regards to that match there. So let's go ahead and move on because from here on out, we got another match that I don't know. This wasn't like the greatest match either, but it was not bad though. Okay, just because it wasn't like an OMG match, I don't want people to think that it was like bad by any means, because there was a lot that I did like about this match. So the match that I'm talking about is the Knockouts Championship, Tasha Steelz defending her title against Rosemary. So I want to kind of start off by talking a little bit about the pros here. And the pros that I do like, I want to start off by saying that Tasha Steelz, her promo work has just gotten so much better. Like, she goes out there and I think she knows that she's like a rising star, and you can see it because she exudes that confidence. So you see that. The other thing that I really like about this is that so many times, you know, in other places, you know, when I don't know how else to describe this, but let's just be real here. You know, Mickie James is no longer champion, okay? But when Mickie James was champion, you know, they made sure to give her a lot of time. They put her on a good spot in the card. Why? Because she's Mickie James. She's this legend. Same thing with Deonna Purrazzo. She was at a certain level and, you know, as champion, she was getting a respectable amount of time and all of that. So with that being said, to me, that was one of the pros with Tasha Steelz. Tasha Steelz is not Mickie James. Tasha Steelz is not Deonna Purrazzo, but I really did like that they still gave her the right and respectful opportunity to go out there and have a lengthy match against Rosemary, and they gave her a good spot on the card because, yeah, like I said, she's not, you know, a legend like Mickie James, but they still respected her as the champion to put her in a spot like this. So I thought the amount of time that they gave this match was really good for them. And then on top of that, just the fact that this was, you know, the semi-main event, I thought was a really good spot there too. They could have easily put this match, you know, somewhere in the beginning and made it feel like, oh yeah, it's a Knockouts Championship, but, you know, they could have made it seem less significant is what I'm trying to say, and they didn't do that, and that to me is a pro that they did not do that. With that being said, you know, Tasha's coming into her own as champion. This necessarily wasn't the most exciting match. I think the crowd was a little bit out of it. I don't know if it was just, you know, I kind of feel like the crowd was out of it during this, because even when Tasha hit the blackout and Rosemary tapped out, I didn't really feel that there was a reaction from people where it's like, oh shit, she tapped out to the blackout. It really wasn't until commentary was like really putting it over the fact that, like, you know, oh my God, this was done, etc. So this is, again, to me, was an okay match, but what did you think of it, Steven? And obviously we did see Tasha retain her championship.
Yeah, so no, I agree with everything you were saying. I think the crowd was pretty dead for it. I think the biggest pop that they had during the match was when Rosemary spit the green mist into Evans's eyes on the apron. Like, that was like the biggest reaction I think that it got. The finish was that Michinoku driver at the end, right, with Tasha finally getting her with that. Here's the thing with a match like this. Again, makes sense on paper because, like, you have champion, you have challenger, you have kind of like essentially bodyguards for each one as well. Like, on the outside, two women who can kind of even the odds against each other, where you have Havoc on one side, Savannah Evans on the other side. I hope they don't rely too much on Tasha Steelz needing outside help to keep retaining her title, because I think that's going to hurt her perception as well a little bit. Like, she probably needs to go out there and just be getting legitimate wins as much as possible right now to build her, I think, to the same spot that, you know, to potentially get in a spot like a Deonna Purrazzo has been in with the company, for instance. But see, and another thing about this, I respect them for putting this as the co-main, like you said. Like, you're proving the point that the Knockouts Championship is a very valuable and prestigious title in your company, that no matter what other matches are on that show, you're going to put that in a big spot. I respect that. The downside is, this is my personal opinion, it's okay if people disagree, I think that the Deonna and Taya match was significantly better. Like,
oh, it definitely was. Definitely.
And it could be, we get it because we follow the company, but like, that match, yes, the AAA Randy Duranis was on the line. We know that Deion is also the ROH Women's Champion. But when you put that match on earlier in the show and it's that much better, and then your own company's world title match doesn't come across nearly as well, it just looks kind of strange. I don't know how else to really say it.
It feels like less than.
It kind of does. Like if me, if I watched Impact for the first time tonight, for instance, I would think that Taya being the AAA champion was like a bigger deal than the, just based on how good the match was and how big that match came off in comparison, in my opinion. Now, once again, there, you know, Tasha's very early on in her title run, and this is a part of the process with new champions. You see this. I mean, we saw it in AEW with Britt Baker as well, to a degree, where, like, you have to just start getting wins. Like, you get the title, you got to have challengers, get wins, build your resume, build your prestige. And Tasha's just in that, she's doing that as we speak. So, I don't think this match is very good, I'll be completely honest. But I have no issue with Tasha Steelz being the champion. I think she's probably the right person to be the champion right now. But you also got to go out there and, like, really, when you got women like Deonna and Ty on the same show and you're the champion of the company, like, you really got to bring it. And I just don't think this was as good as the match earlier in the night. So,
yeah, I agree. I feel like I cannot argue that whatsoever. Again, big fan of Tasha, but this was just not necessarily the match, I guess you can say. Yeah, that's like the best way to put it. We got a super chat from ShotKid29 who says that the crowd was really enjoying it, but watching live, something felt off, especially in the back half of the match. And there was some, like, there was when she did the cutter, the springboard cutter by Tasha, like, that was really good too. I did like that. Again, you mentioned the spot where Rosemary essentially missed Savannah, like, that was pretty good too. And then, you know, her hitting the spear right after that, I thought was really good. So, like, there were some good moments towards the end. It's just that as a whole, it didn't necessarily hit the mark. That's, you know, that's just the best way to put that.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that they kind of botched, like, a big move at the end too. Like, the crowd was already kind of out of it, and then they kind of botched, like, Tasha doing, I forget, the, is it called the blackout, that move? I forget,
but yeah, the blackout.
She kind of, like, missed it and then, like, had to go redo it, and the crowd was already kind of out of it. It just didn't click for whatever reason. So
we got a humper chat from Zachary B who says my least favorite match was a knockout title. I love Rosemary and I don't think she should have won, but Tasha hasn't earned clean title defenses yet, in my opinion. She's got the charisma and the in-ring ability, but her character is tired and boring. This is from Zachary B. I don't think her character is tired or boring. I think she's bringing the energy. She's bringing the attitude. She's bringing what she needs to do in terms of the character. It's just, you think maybe it's just not connecting with the audience?
I don't know. She's, to be honest, there's probably a lot of audiences still doesn't really know much about her. Cause, like, you know, longtime Impact fans would, with, like, her tag team run with Kira Hogan and everything. But, like, if you're a newer viewer, you wouldn't really know that history with the tag team and everything. And then, like, her painting her face tonight, like, that is, you know, do you know what reference that is? I was thinking, like, Scar from Lion King, almost.
No,
like,
what is the reference to that?
No, I don't know. Like, but she had her face painted.
Like an animal, right? Like, was it a lion?
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm asking. Because, like, she had, like, this
scar on her face. I thought it was cute, but I didn't know what the meaning of it was.
And see, this is kind of a problem, right? Like, it just didn't. If someone in the chat,
she was maybe doing like a rawr, you know, like, I'm wild. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, why else would you do like animal face paint, right? Because you want to be like, rawr.
Right, but it's also like Steve Cutler comes out with, like, the Punisher face paint. It's like, everyone knows what that is. Everyone gets that, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, when she was this Scar from Lion King. That's
everybody's
what I was saying.
Scar from Lion King. I don't even think I've ever seen Lion King, so don't even remember the movie. I haven't seen it or I don't remember it. Which one's Scar?
Scar is who kills Mufasa, who's the dad of Simba, who's the main character of the entire thing.
Oh, the evil one. Oh, wait, I have seen Lion King. Sorry, I just don't remember this movie.
Oh, Denise. Oh, commentary did say it was Scar. Okay, I was gonna.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, cool.
Clearly, we weren't paying enough attention.
So I was right on getting the reference. Okay. So that I.
Oh, okay. Here we go. So it was reference to Scar. Commentary confirmed it for beating wrestling's Mufasa, Mickey James. Thank you, Luis. Luis put this in the chat.
Okay.
Come on, Steven. We're reviewing the show. We didn't know this stuff.
All right,
fired. We're both on. Fired.
Yeah, that's actually, I actually really like the, I like that a lot, actually, in hindsight, that whole, the whole reasoning for that. So
Juan Ortega says never seen a cover like.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
King, OMG, Denise. I'm sorry, man. I forget this stuff.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I honestly can't believe that. I'm shocked.
I'm pretty sure I've seen it because I remember that guy. I just don't really remember like the I've probably seen it once and that's it. Moved on with my life. Okay, like that was it. And I didn't. And if I saw it, I didn't even cry. Didn't even cry.
I absolutely cried. I remember crying in the theater as a kid. That's a deep movie. Anyways, I knew it now in hindsight and thinking about it. And yes, y'all are right about the whole Mickey James being the Mufasa and her being the Scar. This all actually makes perfect sense, and it actually bumps up my thoughts about this match just a little bit. It does give it a little bit more brownie points now that I finally put all this together. So,
and yes, I do know the Hakuna Matata song. Everybody knows that song. Yeah, I don't know how I know it, but I know it. People used to sing it at school.
There you go.
All right.
I was gonna say, because you were like, I figured for sure you. Did you not like grow up on Disney movies?
I did. I just never watched The Lion King.
I'm not going to sit here and keep pressing you on this.
Yeah, it's I was going to say, let's move on to the main event. Okay, yeah, all right. So let's move on here. We got the main event for the Impact World Championship, Moose versus Josh Alexander. And Jesus Christ, this was a story. So obviously, you know, the background heading into this, it's got very personal. You know, Moose essentially ruined, you know, the last time Josh Alexander was champion. He only held it, I think commentary said 2 minutes, something seconds, somewhere around there, very short period of time. And this got very personal with Moose, you know, spearing Josh Alexander's wife, scaring his kid. And then on the other hand, you have this very likable babyface in Josh Alexander. So going into this match, I'm like, Josh Alexander better win or else, like, it's just going to take away everything from him, right? You don't want to take off, you know, you don't want to take the hype and, you know, whatever Josh Alexander has built in the last couple of months. You don't want to take that away by seeing him essentially lose to Moose here. So with that being said, there was so much during this match. I want to highlight a couple of the best moments. Immediately, we see Moose taunting his family, his wife on the outside with the baby. And, you know, the little boy comes out in the gear, too. By the way, it was really freaking cute. It was adorable. So, you know, they're watching in the front row. Moose is taunting them. Back and forth, we see a series of chops between Alexander and Moose. From here on out, there was a moment that we see Moose catch Josh Alexander on his back, and then literally on the outside he starts swinging his body onto the barricade. Really good timing on the way that was executed. And then afterwards, another highlight in this match was obviously those 10 German suplexes from Josh Alexander to Moose. That was freaking awesome. It was awesome because for once he was like not letting go. At first I thought, okay, he's going to go for three. Then I thought, okay, he's going to go for five. And then I'm like, okay, seven, that's it. Nope, he's going for 10. And he went for the 10. And what I loved too was that every time he went for the next one, it was like, they took a while to get to the point where he actually, you know, lifts him up. Why? Because it's like, it's taking out, out of both guys. Like you're seeing, you know, Moose obviously take the pain from that, but you're also seeing all of the energy being exuded out of Josh Alexander during this. So that was really freaking great. I really, really love that. And I think this was the point of the match from here on afterwards, where I think it really just kind of leveled up a little bit more. So you kind of see that after the suplex spots, they are a little bit tired. Like they're not necessarily, you know, full energy at this moment. And then you see them exchange chops back and forth. And again, they're both a little bit tired here. But then finally, there's this moment where Josh Alexander kind of just goes like apeshit and he takes off the headpiece and he just like throws it on him. And he starts, you know, we see a variety of strikes. We see a clothesline. We see a headbutt. But we see the C4 spike. We see a pinfall attempt. It ends up being a near fall. We see Moose bite him. And then afterwards, we see Josh Alexander hit the Styles Clash. Then he locks in the ankle lock. From here, this is the part that got me, Steven. This was the part where I was like, oh, shit. They're going to ruin Josh Alexander here, okay? So he ends up, we see Moose take off the turnbuckle, right? So the turnbuckle gets exposed at one point. And we see Moose kick Josh Alexander like right in the, you know, the jewels and all of that. And so then we end up seeing Josh go into the exposed turnbuckles with a spear from Moose. So it kind of gets like the side of like his head and a little bit of his neck. So we see that happen.
And his mouthpiece flies out of his mouth. I mean, that exactly. was a cool visual. Yeah.
It was a really good visual. So he ends up going for the pin here. And I'm thinking, oh my God, he's going to defeat Josh Alexander. This is going to ruin Josh Alexander. And it ended up being a near fall. And it was such a good build up to this near fall. It was phenomenal. I was legitimately ready to riot because I thought Josh was going to lose here. But anyways, they kept the match going. We see a buckle bomb on the turnbuckle. The finish is the C4, the C4 spiked by Josh Alexander, and he gets the win. This was really good. This match completely sucked me in. The story was great. The buildup was great. What did you think about this, Steven?
This was fantastic stuff, and Josh Alexander needed to win this match, and he did. As you were kind of alluding to when you started talking about this match, they would have lost a lot of good faith from their audience had they had Moose win this, and they did a great job of making – I say this a lot. If I'm going into a match pretty confident in the outcome, like most people, I was pretty certain they were going to put the title on Josh Alexander tonight, but – they did a really good job with some of those near falls of really making you think, damn, Moose is about to retain. Like, they're going to actually have Moose retain. And that spot towards the end really got me when he threw him headfirst into that exposed turnbuckle and his mouthpiece came out and he was like literally he was dead up against the turnbuckles. And then that spear, because no one kicks out of that spear from Moose. I mean, that's like 1-2-3 guaranteed. And when Josh Alexander kicked out of that, then I was like, okay, Alexander's for sure winning. Like, let's go. Like, he's going to actually do it. You know, coming into this match, I saw a kind of a wide variety of discourse on this whole story with Moose, so Josh Alexander, him winning the title the first time, that build I thought was fantastic. He was the exhibition champion. He had the title for a long time. He had a lot of really, really great title defenses. His Iron Man match with TJP doesn't get talked about enough either, in my opinion, because that was a really great match. And he had this great run with the title. He turns it in for option C and wins the world title. And it was like, this is perfect. Now we're off to the races. Josh Alexander being the champion, especially because when they broke up the North and Ethan Page went off to AEW, no one really knew what Josh Alexander's future was going to look like as a singles guy. And then it was like, he's now the world champion. Moose beats him 2 minutes later. And it's like, why are we doing this? Like Moose, I'm not saying Moose shouldn't have been the world champion. I'm just saying you just did all this to put Josh Alexander in this great position to be off to the races as a world champion. So we've got about 6 months or so since then, probably give or take. And Josh Alexander, the story of, like, to me as a wrestling fan, I don't really care so much about the family side of this story. Like, I don't think it takes away from this at all. I think that there is a part of the fan base that this really added to, like, and I think it was really cool seeing his son out there with the headgear on and stuff. Like, I mean, I'm not against anything like that. I'm just saying, now that this is over with, look, we're kind of right back to where we were when he won the title half a year ago. It's like, okay, now we finally get Josh Alexander as a world champion. We want a fighting world champion who is a great professional wrestler in between the ropes. We have that now. I hope that this storyline with Moose in prolonging getting him that title adds to how much the fans love Alexander as the champion going forward, only because Impact has a really, really, really bad history about waiting too long to pull the trigger on people. Like, they wait way too long to put titles on the right people, and I'm just hoping that now, with Alexander as the champion, we're going to get a long title run of him just having great matches and defending that championship. And I think he's fully capable of doing it. I think Josh Alexander is a fantastic wrestler. He's very, very believable, very authentic. He seems like he approaches it as an athlete, which I think is just like really, it's like an athletic presentation with this guy. And now we know more about his personal life through this storyline. So hopefully all the stars are aligning now and this guy gets a good long world title run. Because Impact could use it. He could use it. Like, this is, I'm hoping the next pay-per-view, people are invested. And they're like, I saw Josh Alexander beat Moose. And by the way, this is probably the best match I've ever seen Moose have in his career. So
this was a great freaking match.
Yeah. So I think this was wins all across the board for everybody. For the Impact fan base, for Josh Alexander, for Moose. Once again, having this great match he can really hang his hat on, I think. This accomplished a lot tonight, I think, and now it's on Impact to retain the audience and keep people interested between now and the next time they're on pay-per-view. And they might be able to do that with Josh Alexander. I think they've got the right guy in the right position. And now Ace Austin is your X Division champion. I mean, you're in a good position right now with a lot of your belts. So just keep the momentum going.
Was this your match of the night? This was my match of the night.
So I know I said earlier that the Speedball Miguel and Speedball Miguel and Ace Austin match was for the X Division title, but like, this one means more to the company for sure. Like, you know, and if I watch them back both right now back to back, I might say this is my match of the night. I'm not sure. It's between this and that triple threat for the X Division title for me. I thought both
they were two different matches, but I think that this was definitely match of the night. The main event completely, like, and I wasn't expecting this to be my match of the night. I legitimately thought it was going to be Ishii and Jonah. I would probably put that at number two, but this one for sure was match of the night. And I would probably rank that triple threat, not the first one, the Mike Bailey one. I would put that one at probably number three. Yeah, for sure.
That's fair. Right. I mean, and then that's a good thing coming out of a show like this, that like that there's that many good matches that people can all, you know, it was so good. You can debate what the best match was because there was a lot of damn good matches on the show.
Exactly. We got a couple of super chats to get into. So here we go. This one is from Adam Constant, who says Josh Alexander giving off 1989 Ricky Steamboat vibes. Thank you so much to Adam for sending in this super chat. And then we got one from Ricardo the Bot Guy, who says Josh Alexander is a big part of why I enjoy Impact. I think a lot of people would probably agree with this as well, honestly. So thank you so much to Ricardo for that. We got one from Sheldon Jackson, who says I'm hoping to see either Jay White or Will Ospreay challenging Josh Alexander for the Impact World Championship at Slammiversary. Is there, obviously it's got to be a big opponent for Slammiversary, the 20th anniversary and all of that. Is there anybody that you're particularly like wanting to see against Josh Alexander?
So I don't know logistically or like politically, I don't know how to say it, but like if they're on good enough terms with Ethan Page, I would love to see Ethan Page versus Josh Alexander for the Impact title with all the history those two guys have. And Ethan Page is kind of lost in the mix in AEW, but I think he's fantastic. So like, that'd be number one on my list, if I'm being honest, would see the two of them wrestle for the world title.
Nice. All right. Thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson on that. That's pretty much a wrap, everybody. So that was Impact Wrestling Rebellion here tonight. First and foremost, I want to thank every single person who came in and joined this stream. We really appreciate you guys. Obviously, we want to come out here and, you know, get these opportunities to continue talking about Impact Wrestling and their pay-per-views. You know, I'm here for the Impact. Me and Steven, actually, we're both here for the Impact Plus shows and for the, you know, big Impact Wrestling pay-per-views. So keep an eye out on all of that here on Fightful Wrestling. Make sure you guys subscribe. And before we go, Steven, do you want to let the people know where they can find you, where they can follow you, etc.?
Yes. You can follow me on Twitter at @FightTalk_FIGHTTALK_. You can use code FIGHTTALK, all as one word, no spaces, on independentwrestling.tv. It helps me out when you use that code. This weekend, tomorrow, I'll have the Fightful Select Weekender podcast out. I cover the world of independent professional wrestling. That'll be up sometime tomorrow afternoon. So that's on FightfulSelect.com. Tomorrow night, I will be at Battle Slam in Atlanta, Georgia, which is kind of like the new sister promotion to Terminus. So I'm really excited to go to that show. I'm going to try to get a couple of audio interviews while I'm there too, to put up on Fightful, and just keep up with everything I'm doing. Watch the spotlight on Thursdays on Fightful with myself and Jeremy Lambert, and check out the Twitch channel, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming.
I love it. You got a bunch of stuff in there. As for me, guys, Twitter and Instagram @_DeniseSalcedo, youtube.com/DeniseSalcedo. Give this video a like, subscribe to Fightful Wrestling, and we'll see you guys next time. Sean and I will be back here on Monday for the Raw Post Show. Bye, everybody.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.